You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If ever there was a reason to go to a play, it's the three talented people sitting across from me now. Norbert Leo Butz, Judy Greer, and Katie Holmes are all starring on Broadway in Teresa Rebeck's latest comedy, Dead Accounts. It's about many things, family relations, a troubled marriage, whether Grater's ice cream is the best in America, cheese conies, and I almost forgot to mention the embezzlement of $27 million. Norbert Leo Butz and Katie Holmes play siblings, Jack and Lorna. Judy Greer plays Jack's wife, Jenny. And I'm delighted that it brings all three of them back to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
First off, so much food is consumed daily on stage. I wonder if you've been gaining weight as a result.
Ooh, well, we were just talking about that.
And what's the answer?
You know, here's the thing. I eat from the time the play starts until it ends. I literally eat the entire night. And yet we were out in your green room, and it's the two ladies who are sitting there worrying about, oh, I'm gaining so much weight. I've got to go on a vegan diet. I got to go raw. And I'm the one pigging out. I look like, you know.
You're huge, though. I mean,
They're also both really statuesque. And so, you know, I'm 5'7". So, like, if I gain 3 pounds, I always say I turn into Danny DeVito overnight. I get so. Anyway.
Hey, Katie. Your character, Lorna, complains she's gaining weight, but the audience doesn't buy it.
Interesting. Well, Lorna is just, she doesn't have a lot going on, so she's looking for things to conquer, I think it's safe to
say. So going on a diet would be one of them.
Yeah, maybe that'll help. Like, I think she's like one of those people that this week she's on a diet, and next week she's, I don't know, learning how to do something else. Mm.
I realized last night Lorna doesn't have a job.
Her job is taking care of her elderly parents.
Yes. Hello. I don't think she ever got that loan she wanted.
Her small business loan?
Yeah.
She was declined. She couldn't open the sock store in the mall.
Norbert, your character, Jack, has returned home to Cincinnati from New York and is craving the kinds of food you can't normally get here in the city. Tell us, all of the people in this audience who've never heard of it, what's a cheese coney?
A cheese coney is it's basically a hot dog, some sort of frank.
With chili.
With chili and then melted cheese on top. And it's this, there's a chili store in Cincinnati called
Skyline Chili.
Thank you, Katie.
And it's famous throughout the Midwest.
It is famous. So they do all kinds of different chili dishes. You can get a big mound of chili on top of pasta.
That's called Chili Mac.
Oh my. Katie is the expert on all things food here.
Well, the three of you are from the Midwest.
Yes.
So you should know these things.
Yes. Well, I'm from St. Louis. We have a whole different thing of food there. So I just sort of, you know, transcribe it in my mind.
Well, are obviously eating them.
And they're really good.
But not the Grater's ice cream, I imagine. Although, do you think that Grater's ice cream, which, by the way, can be found in some stores in New York,
is
the best ice cream?
Let me just say this. Our prop department mercifully worked with us to find sort of like healthy alternatives. The props are all, you know,
tainted.
They're healthier tainted. They're healthier versions of this food. The ice cream, for instance, Katie found it's a vegan,
non-dairy cashew-based.
It's actually delicious, but we're not eating Grater's. However, the Grater's company did send us a bunch of samples in rehearsal, and I thought, okay, what's the big deal with this? We have our own great ice cream in St. Louis. And I'm telling you, you taste this stuff, it is like crack for the mouth. It's amazing stuff.
It's really, really good.
So what's the great one from St. Louis?
We have a frozen custard place called Ted Drew's, and the lines are 50 people deep, and it's 10 months out of the year. It's
well, don't you think incredible. That every city has a place like that? If you speak to people from Boston,
exactly.
they'll talk about their legendary place. In New York, it's Haagen-Dazs. We have to settle for Haagen-Dazs.
Grom is really good.
It's a
Tasty Delight. I always feel like New Yorkers are always talking about in L.A. because there's like one Tasty Delight in L.A.
Well, you know, like, you know, in New York, it's
but you can't get decent pastrami in L.A. either. So
no, well, Langer's isn't bad downtown.
But yeah, it's an identity thing, right? Your local food is it's It's your community. It's culture. Mm-hmm. It's all of that.
Well, there's a lot of dishing against New York in the course of the play, and I wonder if there's any coincidence in the fact that all three of you come from the Midwest, along with Teresa Rebeck and Jack O'Brien, the director.
And Jane Houdyshell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's from Topeka. Yeah.
So when you started rehearsing, did you say, mm-hmm?
Do we agree with the bashing of New York?
Yes. Well, Judy, you live in L.A. most of the time.
Yeah, I do. But I'm from the Midwest. I'm a nice Midwestern girl. I don't know. It's funny to me. I didn't really feel like it was bashing. I felt like it was just making fun of, because I felt like while we were saying things out loud, we were making fun of New York. Our actions were also kind of making fun of the Midwest. So,
And it's just like the difference in cultures. What happened?
Well, no, there's an important moment coming up that I have to mention. In just 6 seconds, it's going to be 12-12-12.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know that it has nothing to do with this play, but it is one of those things.
What?
You know, suddenly I'm worrying about whether the Mayans know about this.
8, 9, 10.
11.
No. That's the 12. Seconds. Okay. So it's 12-12-12.
It's already 12-12-12 today. The date is 12-12-12.
And there's that concert tonight that's sold out that I can't get my parents' tickets to. So now I'm the worst daughter in America.
God, I'm probably going to have a heart attack on stage tonight.
Don't say that. Cancel. Norbert Leo Butt.
Something awful is going to happen.
Don't say that.
All right.
Do you still think of yourself as Midwesterners?
Yes.
And how exactly would you say that affects the way that you act in your everyday lives? Do you think that it's changed now that you all live in other places?
I have a lot more guilt, I think, than my friends from the coasts. Just in general, I just carry it with me all the time.
My wife is from Columbus, and she's always saying to me, smile.
Yeah. Right.
She's worried that I'm not happy because I don't smile as much as Midwesterners smile. Do you think there is a big disconnect between New York and the rest of the country?
Well, I mean, truthfully, I don't walk around. I don't think in my daily life and sort of think of myself as a Midwesterner. I do know what Teresa is getting at, this idea of returning to your home after being away for a long time and after sort of going on almost a spiritual tangent in your life and trying to make your way back to,
but also trying
your original
to justify
values.
The move. You want to, you know, the reason you're moving back, maybe you have all sorts of other reasons for character, but you want to say, well, you know, I just couldn't take New York anymore.
Yeah. I mean, there's this returning to your place, but to me, it's more about like family, and everybody has this experience. You know, when you live far away from your family, wherever you've lived, and then you go back home, and then you sort of have to sort of re-enter that world
and that safety zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it can, and you see how far you may have gone, and there's just that adjustment period, and it can be kind of heavy on a psychic level.
Yeah. Teresa said something interesting once during rehearsal. She said she didn't feel like she belonged, like when she went to the Midwest, when she went home to Cincinnati, that she didn't feel like she belonged there anymore because she'd been in New York for 20 years. But yet in New York, she also felt like she didn't really belong here because she has still such a Midwestern mentality. So I find that to be the case with me too. I don't feel like I belong anywhere anymore.
Mm. Well, your character, Jenny, is a New Yorker.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
And she wears, to prove the point, she wears 5-inch stiletto. I was wondering if it's hard to navigate on those stilts.
The rake in the stage doesn't help. And I have to say that for the first time, like, I think it was on our Sunday afternoon performance, I actually felt like I was...
Listing?
Like, I felt like I was, like, teetering a little bit. Like, I was, like, crossing downstage, and I was like, whoa! But
that could have been your hangover, though, baby.
Hey.
Sorry.
That
was Saturday.
Is that a problem you have to contend with in general?
The hangover?
The rake on the stage?
Just kidding.
The rake on the stage, which the audience is not really
It's a very subtle. It's a subtle rake in this show, but...
I've started tripping a lot.
Yeah.
In my slippers.
It's tricky. I did a big...
You wear slippers. And
trip.
Yeah. In Wicked, we had a big rake on the stage and doing Wayne Cilento's choreography, which is this really athletic choreography. And your center of gravity is always off on a rake. If you're, you know, just think of physics and you're sort of working on a plane on an incline, your hips are never quite even. One leg is always higher than the other. It can be in the long term, especially when you're dancing on it, there can be some need for physical therapy.
Well, you do a lot of physical humor in this play.
Yeah.
So you're doing it. We don't realize you're doing it with a certain disadvantage of the fact that the stage is tilted.
Yeah. The reason that that is, obviously, is for sight lines. Jack was very smart to do that, so there's really not a bad seat in the house.
Because people in the front of the house also have to see the front and the back of the stage.
Exactly.
Judy, is it fun playing somebody as bitchy as Jenny is?
Yeah. I really love it. It's super fun. I love getting a chance to be mean because I usually get cast in sort of like girl next door, Daffy, stupid roles. So it is, it's really great. I really like it too when I meet people who've seen the play and they're like, you're so nice.
Well, you do have to work to prevent a character like this from becoming a caricature.
Yeah. Yes. And I hope I'm doing that. I was conscious of not just being like a stereotypical like mean girl. I wanted her to have a lot of levels and depth, and I wanted her to be interesting, and I don't know, when people say like how much they hate me, it makes me feel upset and angry with them because I don't hate her anymore, Jenny. I like have found something about her that I find really vulnerable that I like.
Yeah, but she's the one who causes the trouble for a character.
She doesn't do anything. This one is the one that does the whole thing. I didn't make him steal $27 million.
You have a conversation on your cell phone where you say the cattiest things about the house, and then suddenly you realize
really
that you've
rough.
Been overheard by Norbert's mother, played by Jane Howdy Shell.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I just want to defend Judy and Jenny through her.
Well, she's your wife.
She is my wife, but you know why she's in such a bad mood and why she's very nasty in that monologue is because she has a very good argument why she's come back to demand this money back, but she also has been trapped in this house for 10 hours. We've all left on an emergency errand, and she's really crabby, as anybody would be if you were stuck in a small three-bedroom house, middle class house.
Oh, in a place that you're not even
and where you don't
used
know anything,
to.
That
with
wasn't
no cell
yours.
Phone service.
You don't have anything with you to play with. You have no toys. I mean, there is an iPad in my purse, but it's fake.
We've gotten to that point with cell phones. We were just laughing about it. I just got a new iPhone. But if you forget.
Did you get the 5?
I got a 5.
Oh, cool.
But if you
it's
leave it at home for a day, right, or you forget your charger,
you
I don't care if you're in New York or if you're in Topeka, you begin to have withdrawal symptoms. When did that happen?
So
now,
true.
Katie, your
with
character, Lorna, is more of a mystery. She's still living at home with her parents. She's obviously beautiful, and yet she feels uncomfortable in her own skin, sees herself as somewhat unattractive. How did you go about figuring out who and why she is the way she is?
Well, I'm still figuring it out. what I like about Lorna is she, you know, she is doing the right thing. She is taking care of her parents, and that is a very positive thing. And it's also, I think that she's at that point in her life where she doesn't know what to do next. And so it's kind of also, as much as it's nice to take care of her parents, it's her kind of, thank God she has something to do with them.
Although right now there's a bit of a crisis because her father
has
just been rushed off to the hospital.
Right. Which is made even bigger for her because she's got nothing else going on to help with that. But
she kind of resents the fact that she's the one who has to hold everything together.
Yeah, she's like the last one in the family, and she, you know, hasn't gotten her life started yet. But I also like her love for her brother and all of her siblings. I get a kick out of, you know, we have these phone calls in the play with Jane and I, who plays my mom, where we're both talking at the same time. And what I like about Teresa's writing is that it's like every time I'm on the phone with another sibling, I'm talking about Jack instead of just talking to Jack, which I found to be very true.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone in big families, you kind of, well, what do you think? What did he say the last time that he was with you? Well, what do you think that means? Because there's a lot of love and concern, and you know, everybody wants to take care of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware of Teresa Rebeck's earlier work, Mauritius and understudy seminar, before you signed on to do this?
Yes. Yes, I was, and I've I'm a fan of Teresa's. I like her writing. I like her spirit. I think she's a really strong, wonderful woman, and She's very inspiring.
We're talking with three of the cast members of Teresa Rebeck's new play, Dead Accounts, which is at the Music Box Theater at 239 West 45th Street. They are Katie Holmes, Judy Greer, Norbert Leo Butts, and we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We are back with Norbert Leo Butts, who plays Jack in Teresa Rebeck's new play, Dead Accounts, Judy Greer, who plays his estranged wife, Jenny, and Katie Holmes, who plays his sister, Lorna. The play is at the Music Box Theater on 239 West 45th Street. For ticket information, you go to our show page at WNYC.org. But it is a limited run, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
So, because you all have other...
it's Norbert's fault.
This comes up in every interview.
Norbert has a job.
well, why wouldn't it come up if you have a hit play? and then you say, well, it's going to have to end in February 24th.
Because of Norbert.
The play sort of...
Well, then we're going to get Leonardo DiCaprio to replace you.
Wait, is that an option? Shouldn't you start rehearsals sooner for this other show?
Because Judy and I have to make out in
that
too.
Oh, my God. Open, so I didn't even know that was an option.
Leo, what? He's available?
Can we? Really?
Yeah.
I love
Ryan. I just made that
Ryan Gosling. I think they're in touch with Ryan Gosling's people too.
Dude, I didn't know it was going to have that kind of an effect on you.
I'm freaking out right now. We could extend.
I just saw him in Django Unchained. That's what made me think of him.
Oh, I can't wait to see that movie.
It's fun.
The trailer is amazing.
We're going to have Samuel Jackson on tomorrow talking about it.
Wow. Is Leo coming on at all?
Would you stop it?
I'm sorry.
He's too busy signing the contract to replace
Norbert.
Norbert.
You didn't get it.
There's the Leo connection.
You didn't get a Leo DiCaprio. You got a Norbert Leo Butts. It's a Leo. It's just, you know, older, shorter, and balder. Everything else is.
and you're blushing, Norbert. So you're going to be going into another play.
I am. You know, Dead Accounts sort of fell out of the sky. It kind of came together quickly. I already was in talks to do this big musical called Big Fish with Susan Stroman, based on the film with Albert Finney and Ewan McGregor. And
one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting.
So
I can't wait to see you in this.
We go into rehearsal for that while I'm still doing the play, I think, for three weeks.
But Judy and I are going to come and watch you in rehearsal.
Yeah, we're going to
lend our support.
No, you're not.
Katie's going to bring snacks from Organic Avenue.
As you remember from Dead Accounts, I'm very bad for a long time.
I don't remember that. I remember perfection, the first word that came out of your mouth.
Was Teresa Rebeck at the rehearsals?
Yeah, she was there almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, the last week she was in and out more, but yeah, she was always there. It was great.
Well, so Norbert, you're going to be doing a musical.
Yeah.
The standard question people always ask is, do you like doing movies better than you do theater?
Right.
But in your case...
I'm bi-theatrical, yes.
You are bi.
I always... And I also have...
Leonardo DiCaprio would never have said that funny thing.
And I have pretty severe ADHD, so when I tend to want to do whatever I'm not doing in the moment. But no, I love that I can do it. Then both you and I started off as a singer as a kid. It's really what I always wanted to do. So I'm excited to get back and do it really.
Well, how do you pace yourself in this play? Do you have to save up some of the energy for the big moments?
Save up energy for the big
moments? Because, you know, there are times when you just seem to be exuding out of skin energy.
Yeah. I was asked on opening night. I'm really not trying to do that. I don't know. It just must be me, because on opening night, we had all those interviews that we did, and I think four people literally asked the question, how many Red Bulls do you drink before going on? I've never had a Red Bull in my life, you know.
Do you want some?
No, I don't want any. I don't take anything. The play, in the first scene of the play, Katie's character and Jane's character, I'm described constantly as high-strung and over-the-top and even more high-strung than usual and very a lot, as Katie's character says. Jack is very a lot. So I just, you listen to the play and the guy is really a live wire. He's going through kind of a crisis.
And was that from the start, the first rehearsal, or is this something you have to work yourself up to?
Well, yeah, you work yourself up to it, and hopefully I found a way to kind of balance. The guy has a really long journey in the course of the evening, so...
Judy and Katie, you've both been here previously to talk about movies. Judy, for you it was The Descendants. Katie, you were here for a wonderful film called Pieces of April. And this is the second theatrical production for both of you?
Mm-hmm.
So, Judy, you were in Paul White's Show People. Katie, Arthur Miller's All My Sons. Was it a big transition? I mean, you have to learn to project to the back row. This is something you don't have to worry about in movies.
Right. It was a big transition for me. I was very nervous, and I think it's interesting because I feel like when you're on stage, it's obviously so physical, and you could say, yeah, it's physical. You can see all of you, but you really have to get it into your body, and you have to be okay with saying a line really loud. And when you're used to not having to do that, you really have to commit. Mm. And
it loud without it sounding like you're saying it loud.
Right.
Because there are those actors who sound like they're shouting on the stage. They're the ones we don't really like as much as the ones who just sound like they're talking normally, even though obviously they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then conversely, whenever I go to do one of the rare occasions when I'm asked to do a small role in a film or a TV show, the sound guys are over there like plugging their ears because I'm like Pavarotti. They're like, dude, it's just a mic right above your head.
Katie, you slump a lot in this character, something that I haven't noticed you doing in real life. So that was part of you getting physically into her?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Jack is this high-energy guy, obviously. And so I felt like Lorna is still, and she slumps, and she's at a pace that is slow. So, it's kind of nice because I'm wearing slippers, sweatpants, and I slump.
On the other hand, Judy, your character
has
incredible posture, and she's on these huge stilettos.
I'm on stilts, and I have to stand up straight all the time. Like, sometimes on stage, I'll notice, like, that I've hunched over, and I was like, no, get up there.
Wow. Yeah. I'll have what Katie's having. That's nice work if you can get it.
I know. I'm always really so jealous as I'm, like, putting on my ponytail and all my makeup and my tight clothes, and I'm like, oh. Katie throws on some jeans and slippers.
I know. I get ready when we do the 5-minute call.
And in your case, Jenny doesn't come on until the second act.
Right.
So no. You don't
end
have to
the
come
first.
To the theater?
Sorry?
At the very end of the first, right. In fact, she leaves us with a cliffhanger.
Yes. I do. Yeah. But I still have to be there at half hour, just like everyone else.
I'd imagine there would have been a lot of practical jokes on The Descendants because George Clooney was involved. Does that sort of thing happen during the run of a show as well?
I don't know, because I've only done, this is my first show on Broadway, and we did play some jokes on each other during Show People, but then very early on in the beginning, Norbert Leo Butz made it pretty clear that he did not want any of those shenanigans. So I was terrified at the time to play any jokes on him. Now I'm not feeling as scared of him. Now that I know him better, I'm like, I could probably put a naughty picture hidden somewhere in the refrigerator.
I feel like stuff happens anyway. Like one night I literally just dropped a glass of wine. Like,
yes.
Why did that happen? It just fell right out of my hand. Mm. And I thought, wow, I've had quite a day. But I think
it works. It probably worked. Is there a temptation to then drop the glass every night after that?
No.
I bit into my cheese coney the other day, which has like red bean, kidney beans in the chili mix, and the bean, I swallowed it whole, and it went up the back of my went up the back of my sinus, and it got stuck in my nose, and then I blew the kidney bean out of my nose in the course of the scene, and had to keep
on. Did you get a big laugh?
Well, no, the audience didn't know. But I kept on emoting through that.
You blew a kidney bean out of your nose.
It's the truth. These are the things that happen on stage.
Since there are a lot of out-of-towners in the audience, with this play in particular, do you get different kinds of reactions from night to night?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
we do. And that's what makes it, you know, really fun and challenging and you learn more about the play, and actually, I feel like I learn more about people because you're really hearing what parts affect people.
Teresa's one of her great gifts, and she says this herself. Katie alluded to this earlier. She writes the way people really, really speak. She is a self-described populist playwright. She wants to fill the theater with laughter. She wants to make accessible theater, and that's always sort of kind of sort of frowned upon, you know, and I don't know, in a more elite theater or whatever, but it's actually what Neil Simon did. It's actually what Chekhov did. They were trying to appeal to the greatest number of people. So she's very generous to her audience. It's a very warm-hearted play. It's not afraid of extending its heart out to the audience, and they really respond in kind.
And you have
it's
a wonderful director,
and it's
by
kidney
the way.
Beans.
Yes, Jack O'Brien, who does Tom Stoppard and Teresa Rebeck.
Yeah, but you know, Jack is the perfect director for this because he's that kind of guy. He's a big old heart. He fills the room with laughter. He laughs at all of our stuff. He creates a really safe, warm.
And he worked with you in Catch Me If You Can.
I wish he would work with me on everything. I ever do from that
Katie, aren't you the designated actor's equity deputy?
She is.
What
she
does
is.
That mean?
Deputy.
Well.
Do you get paid extra for that?
No. in fact, you're bringing up something that makes me uncomfortable because I did get an email, but our stage manager said I don't need to do anything. So I didn't read it.
Have you not been filing your paperwork with the union, Katie?
Have you been meeting every day with all the other equity deputies and all the other productions on Broadway? We told her that,
Have you been slacking?
Yeah. We told her she had to meet every single day with all the equity deputies.
See, on your first day of rehearsals, every cast in every Broadway and off-Broadway show needs to have a representative from that cast for the union to just to be an open liaison in case there are problems or whatever. Then somebody can volunteer, but it has to be unanimously passed, or you can nominate somebody. Well, Katie must have stepped out of the room.
Because she didn't go to our Get to Know You dinner.
Oh, that's right. We had a dinner the night before,
and she didn't
She
come.
Didn't show up, so we nominated her.
In
absentia.
Because... That doesn't make me sound very nice.
She didn't just not show up. She told us all.
Yeah, I had not been.
Who cares? She wasn't there.
So if we read about a real crisis with this play in the New York Times, we know who's responsible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thank you all so much for being with us. Katie Holmes plays Lorna, Judy Greer plays Jenny, and Norbert Leo Butz plays Jack. He's a 2-time Tony Award winner. You can be someday if you appear in more plays.
That's right.
I would love to.
But in your case, it was for musicals, Norbert. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Catch Me If You Can.
Unbelievably. I never intended to do musicals my entire life. Believe me, I feel like I'm in the wrong career, but I'm having a really good time.
And Dead Accounts is at the Music Box Theater on 239 West 45th Street. For ticket information, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.